The following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
If you would, Tom, just turn to Psalm 32. Just going to share some verses in this psalm. Kind of ties into what I talked about last Sunday, which was guilt, shame, and condemnation. We had a little mass deliverance. Friday nights, I'm doing a series up here on dealing with fundamental strongholds of bitterness and envy and boasting and all these types of things. We're going to be going through that on Fridays. But this morning, I want to share this. The teaching this morning is utter confession brings utter release. And I would submit most of our problems, me included, is we confess to a point we don't utterly own the deal. It's caused a wall between the Lord and us, or sometimes between others and us. You know? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you kind of go and you don't really deal with the issue down to the core. So it kind of sits there. Psalm 32 says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man on whom the Lord imputes not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile." You know, it's so easy to take that for granted. Amen? Do you know how many people have no clue what it means to be utterly forgiven of their sin? Most people. And unfortunately, a lot of believers. No clue. The utterly free gift of forgiveness is amplified. Here in the Old Testament, Paul quotes this, I believe, in Romans 4, that Jesus died to purge iniquity, all the consequences thereof, all the effects thereof. And our biggest problem is unbelief. We believe it on one level, then the enemy comes with, dredges up out of the sea of our soul, regret and remorse and guilt and, oh, if only you'd done this, and throw all kind of stuff on you, and we listen. Y'all remember the verse Revelations 12:10? They overcame him by what? The power of the blood. The accuser of our brethren. That's what he does. He accuses. When you hear an accusing voice in your head, it ain't God. Say that again. It ain't God that accuses your head. He convicts. Big difference from confusion. Big difference. Conviction and accusation. Conviction is, it's kind of a gentle way of wooing you to deal with the deals so that you won't be in agony and you can be reconciled with God. Accusation is, you low life slug. Why try? And then the enemy pulls out a computer sheet the last few weeks, starts reading off all the times you failed. And we listen. Did you know this whole thing started with somebody listening to the devil? Amen? Everyone unsaved and many saved labor under the guilt, the pain, the remorse of their sin. They do myriad of things to cover it up. The pain and weight is always there. Everyone you meet that doesn't know Jesus is carrying a weight of sin. Oh, they may deny it. Their conscience. But you know, your conscience is the seat of the Lord's voice. Bible tells us in Romans 2 that the Lord wrote the law. The law is written on your conscience. You instinctively know it's right and wrong, even if no one ever told you the gospel. Everyone that's lost instinctively knows certain things are right, certain things are wrong. And when they do the wrong, the conscience berates them and accuses them. So what they'll often do is silence it, quiet it. You know why there's so many alcoholics? What does alcohol do? It dulls the conscience. You don't have to listen to that inner voice. You know how so many people are kind of surround themselves with amusements, indulgences to take their mind off of. A lot of people just don't like silence. The Bible says, "Be still and know them, God." People do anything other than it could quiet. Because then it's in the stillness, the conscience begins to speak. So they plug their iPod in and turn her song on. Look at verse 3. Now this is a picture of a believer who didn't come to the place of utterly convinced. And when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. I think New American Standard says, when I kept silence about my sin. This is a picture of a believer not turning from their sin. They kind of want their cake and eat it too. They want to walk with Jesus, this and that. But they got this area and they don't want to repent of it. They don't want to let it go. So they kind of cover it up, justify, rationalize, excuse. But what happens is it causes an inner contradiction, because when you're born again, you're a new creature in Christ. There's this new seed in you. You can't live. You can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devil. You can't live in two realms at once. It's a twilight zone. Then your conscience begins to go from a whisper to a roar. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring. So how your versions read? That's not the Lion of Judah in you. That's the lion that walks about seeking who may be devoured. Begins to roar. Something inside is saying there's something wrong. Your fish is supposed to be in the water. We do not hear wiggling around on the sidewalk. You've left your paradigm, your reality. Everything twists and contradicts. Opens the door to darkness. Wrote here, many people then fill their life with noise. Never forget, I was years ago in a drafting office with a bunch of guys, 8 or 9 guys. This is before computers. We actually used pencils and paper and we drafted, you know. I know it's pretty antique. Anyway, I was there all day long. And I was a Christian and none of them were. And they would play, they had the radio up right over my desk, K101 rock and roll. Play all day long. There was a guy at the end of the hall, at the end of the room. Pretty nice guy, but he was just fidgety all the time. I don't know what his deal was. But never forget, one day we came in, the radio was off. And he jumped up, he said, what's with the silence? Let's get some music, let's get some noise in here. I never forget that. He couldn't stand the silence. After about maybe 45 minutes, something began to roar. For me, I was grateful for that 45 minutes. Verse 4, this is a hard-headed believer. The roaring isn't enough. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. You know, okay, Lord says you're not going to listen to my voice. You're not going to listen to the roar. Here's the hand of the Lord. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? James, you the only one? Let's pray for James up here, guys. Rest of y'all, well, let's just say you need to listen to the word. Hard-headed believer, day and night. It was heavy. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. In other words, it's hitting his body now. I want you to see, it's hitting his body. Do you know, a lot of times, our physical maladies are the result of our spiritual refusals to be open to God. It's like, shaking up a 7-Up bottle. If you don't get that thing released to the Lord, it's going to come out. It's going to manifest latent curses, all kinds of things in your life. I wrote here, this is the divine wrestling match. In verse 4, his hand is heavy. This guy's trying to hang on as long as he can. Go to church, praise God, and hang on to bitterness, hang on to resentment. Hang on to an area of indulgence that they don't want anybody to know about. Not let it go, even though the Lord's convicted him. And so it's just become and you know, it's really dangerous. I'll show you in a minute. If you stay in that place, dude, it's possible to never get out. It's like crawling in a tunnel and never finding your way out again. But fortunately, this believer, in verse 5, he cried out, Uncle. He says, okay. What does 1 John 1:9 say? Anybody? Hey, come on, that's a verse you ought to know when you first get saved. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. He finally decided to do 1 John 1:9. I acknowledge my sin. Right, Lord. My iniquity I've not hid. I said, okay, I'll confess my transgressions to the Lord. And lo and behold, look. And you forgave. the iniquity of my sin. Like letting steam out of a kettle. I wrote here that, like I said, most believer, every unbeliever has this steam in them. And it's internalized. Frankly, I think that's why most of the madness, the insanity goes on in the world, the perversion, all this stuff. It's people trying to deal with their sin without getting forgiven. Preoccupied with wealth and achievement, popularity, money and gain and all these things. Whereas deep inside, all they're really looking for is a peace that passes understanding. So verse 6, now here's where it gets dangerous. He comes back and he warns. He says, for this shall everyone that's godly pray to the Lord in a time when you may be found. What does that mean? Because surely in the floods of great waters shall not come nigh to you. Have you ever heard of the scripture, the enemy comes in like a flood? It's like the enemy's sitting there. Lord's holding him back. But if you delay too long, you do not humble yourself and let the steam out and confess and own, repent. Sometimes confession, by the way, involves going to somebody else. Sometimes your sin may be, the Lord is saying, go to that person, humble yourself, make it right. Or he's saying, let that bitterness go. Some people have been hanging on to bitterness for decades, all gnarled up with disease and arthritis. Lord's saying, let it go so the process can begin to reverse. But if you don't, when the floods hit, when the enemy floods in, it's too much for you. The enemy come in like a flood with deception, excuses, rationalizations. It's basically a picture of a hard heart. You know, Paul says in Hebrews 3, in fact, let me just read that verse. You don't have to turn to it, but it's appropriate right here. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exalt one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know, amen. By the way, what that says to me, exalt one another daily while it's called today. Christians are called to Christian community. Christians are called to an environment, a family, a body. You know, I've noticed people that aren't open to others' input, correction, reproof, encouragement, prayer, very easily get deceived. It's a hard word here in the United States, America, and these big giant churches, but there's very little real pastoring going on in most of the big churches where there's accountability. Somebody knows you well enough to look you between the eyes and say, come on, brother, that ain't, get off your deal. We all need that. Can I amen? Soon as there's a scripture in Ecclesiastes, he says, better is a poor and wise child that receive correction than an old and foolish king who will no longer be reproved. You never get to the point where you don't need correction. Even Peter the Rock, Paul had to kind of, and that's embarrassing when he sticks your correction in a New Testament letter that's going to be there for thousands of years. Nevertheless, Paul had no problem because he loved Peter. He had a passion for the truth. Verse 7. I love this. Now the psalmist is saying he's grateful. He's got his priorities right. He's back in the right place. He says, thou art my hiding. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. You shall compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. Last time he said Selah, in verse 4, he was still fighting God. Now he says, he raises a surrender. Okay, Lord, come back. And it was like a prodigal son. A grateful prodigal has come home. Does anybody at all relate to these? Okay, we got another hand now. Claire and Rita, I see. Here's the fascinating. This is where God actually begins to speak. You know, the Lord doesn't really speak up to this point. Well, his voice is the roaring and the conscience, you know, the heavy hand of conviction, the consequence of hiding at, facing. But now something comes out of his heart, because now the Lord can see that their heart is right, can speak a word of correction. Verse 8, he says, "Look, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you shall go. I will guide you with my eye." My margin says, "My eye will be upon you." In other words, the Lord said, "Look, I'm here. I never went anywhere. I'll lead you and guide you and direct you along the paths of righteousness, even in the valley of the shadow of death, to the place of glory where your table is spread in the presence of your enemies. Now, your cup is filled with oil." He said, I'll watch over you. Isn't that interesting? Finally comes out of the Lord like a promise. You've come home. Now, it kind of reminds me of the father and the prodigal son. You know, he came home. Prodigal son was expecting, "Oh man, I'm going to get it." His father gave him something. He threw a party. You know, rejoiced, did not at all bring back the past. There's a scripture, my favorite verse in Psalm 103. "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed" what? Our sins from us. "As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear." I would submit 99% of our problems is we're reticent to be utterly, utterly real with the Lord. Utterly confess. Utterly own. One way you really get to the point where you realize, tell the Lord, if you're trapped in something, say, "Lord, I'm trapped in this sin or this deal. I don't want it. I hate it. I keep going back to it." Then your prayer needs to be, "Lord, you deliver me. Do it whatever it takes. Move heaven and earth. I will not object. Set me free so I can be at peace in your presence." Can you hear an amen? Last verse. Then the Lord nails the real issue. "Be not as the horse or as the mule, who have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with a bit and bridle as they come." You know, I would submit the psalmist in the first several verses was a mule. You see that? Stubborn. Hang on to it. Don't want to let go of their rights. Want it both ways. They suffered the consequence. But the Lord threw the horse in there too. Mules are stubborn. Guess what horses are? Wild. They need to be broken. Rebellious. Got any horses out there? The Lord's saying, look, rebellion or stubbornness? Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion is one of the worst things. It's the sin of Lucifer. Basically what started all this. Stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, it says in 1 Samuel. So when you've got a mule tendency, God's going to have to take the divine 2x4 to divinely whack you. And if you've got the rebellious, then God's going to have to saddle you. Have to throw something on you and break you. How many here have ever seen or know what's involved in breaking a wild horse, stallion or whatever? Does it happen overnight? Takes a while, doesn't it? But once it's broken, it becomes useful. Meat for the master's use. Can there any men this morning? So, utter confession brings utter release. Let's pray. Jesus. Lord, I pray. I showed it in the Word. Can't get any clearer than this. You really want us to walk with you. You don't want us to live in a place of misery. Forgive us, Lord, for the rebelliousness, the stubbornness in our lives. Have mercy on us, Jesus. Come with conviction this morning. Holy Spirit, I pray you'd come and you put your finger on every area of us that resists you, that balks you, plays games with God. Lord, that you would help us to be utterly devoted so we can come to utter peace and ironically receive the very things we long for, we so ache for, You hand them to us on a platter. Come, Holy Spirit, with conviction. Jesus, bring conviction in any area. Folks, just confess to the Lord. Say this, Lord, let your Spirit search deep inside of me. Show me those areas that I'm not even aware of. I can bring them and lay them at your feet and avoid a lot of pain by humbling myself to you quickly, keeping short accounts with my sins and with the sins of others. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray right now. Let your Spirit come and minister to us, Lord. Bring a touch of your peace to those who haven't experienced a deeper peace. In the inner parts, hide truth, Lord. Let peace go down. The very core of our being. Lord, I just speak a blessing of your peace, your protection. I bless this body. I bless the people. Protect them. Keep them safe. Keep your angels around us. Guard us, O Lord. Help us walk in the way. Bring us back next weekend full of joy and anointing. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Go in peace.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.